melting all the sadness off of my soul, and I smell the sweet cherry blossoms pouring all the gladness.
You're the best. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, not for what I've done or for what I'm not. You, my Jesus, my strength.
Dress. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Vineyard. Welcome to our online services. Listen, we know that there's got to be a level of disappointment that we're not meeting in person. But you know what? We are going to worship together. We're going to celebrate Jesus, and we're going to invite his presence because we need him now more than ever, okay? So wherever you're at right now, why don't you join me as we worship?
Thank you.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Come on, sing it. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Thank you.
on, do your best right now and engage with us and sing this out together.
You are here. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. Let's sing Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. that you're working. Even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop working. Thank you, Jesus.
Stop.
Even when I don't see that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop working. You never stop working.
God, we thank you for your faithfulness right now. And God, we just cry out for more of you. Father, we need a miracle in this world. Whether it be the pandemic, an illness, whether it be social injustice or unrest, we need more of your kingdom to break in. And so we invite you into our homes, into our lives, into our the very core of our being right now. God, would you fill us again so that we could reflect who you are in the world? But God, we cry out for more of you. Would you guide us and lead us right now? And it's in your mighty name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the Vineyard. Our doors on campus may be shut, but the church has never been closed, and we love that you're here with us right now. As a matter of fact, we'd love to say hello to you, so if you're able to go into the chat, if you haven't done so already, maybe say hello to somebody. Maybe say hello if you're new. Type in guest. We want to know that you're with us, and then we're going to continue with the rest of the service. God bless you.
Hey, what's up, everyone? My name's Keith, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's great to see you today. The message is right around the corner, but first, I want to let you know about a few important things. Even though our services have temporarily switched to online, we still want to encourage you to go to church with your whole family. Our children's ministry has some great resources that can be accessed anytime on the front page of our website. Our youth ministry is live streaming their service every Wednesday at 7 p.m. This service will include worship, a short teaching, and connection with youth leaders and other students in the live chat. It's a lot of fun. At this point, all of our midweek events and in-person small group gatherings are postponed. However, the food bank will remain open 7 days a week with a drive-through service for those in need. Is it your first time joining us? We would love to connect with you. Write guest in the chat and we'll send you some information about who we are. If you have any other questions, we've got a friendly team here who would love to get to know you more and answer any questions you have. Just let us know in the chat and someone will be in touch in no time at all. Don't forget, you can keep up to date on everything happening at vineyardnorthphoenix.com or any of our social media. We're so glad you decided to join us today. Hope you enjoy the rest of the service.
I am so sorry that we're not able to meet together in person this weekend. I know it's incredibly disappointing, especially after it looked like there was light at the end of the tunnel. I know most of you have been seeing that the COVID-19 infection rates in Arizona are really rising fast over the past couple weeks. And so with that in mind, we made the decision that we could not, in good conscience, reopen for in-person services this weekend. Since the beginning of COVID-19, we've always wanted to err on the side of caution. And one of the ways that God sometimes speaks to us about a decision that we have to make is whether or not we have peace inside about it. And as your pastor, I need to be honest with you and tell you that recently I've not been having peace about reopening our church for in-person services this weekend. It's also important for you to know that this decision is not being made out of fear, but it's being made out of the love and responsibility that we have for you. Now, you might be wondering, well, when will we reopen for in-person services then? Well, the answer is, we just don't know. We're not in a place to set a date at this moment. We will continue to pray about this and look at the infection rates, along with what our health and governmental authorities are saying concerning this. We're going to look at this week to week, but we will always keep you updated with our thinking about this. And we'll let you know as soon as we feel like we should reopen our in-person services. Thank you for your understanding as we try to navigate the constantly changing times we're living in. I'm really glad that you're here today online. Hey everybody, welcome to Vineyard Church North Phoenix Online. So glad you're with us this weekend. Hey, I know, we're all disappointed because we're not having in-person services on our campus this weekend. But we really think it's the best plan for us at this time. And we'll let you know, we're going to be back to in-person services on our campus, very soon in the near future, and we'll keep you updated about that. By the way, where I'm going to be teaching from in the Bible today is in Romans 7, verses 15 to 18. So if you have a Bible, you have an app, open up to Romans 7, verses 15 to 18. And then before we dive into that, we're going to take a moment, and I just want to mention the offering. You know, I want to thank you. So many of you are incredibly generous and incredibly faithful in your giving to God through the Vineyard. And I want to remind you, it really, really matters when you and I are faithful to God with our money. It not only matters to God, but it matters to real, tangible people that we're able to minister to here through the Vineyard. So thank you. You're like, well, how do we give, when we're not meeting on campus? The best way is just give online. You can give at vineyardnorthphoenix.com. You can text to give with the number on the screen. You can give on MyVC. There are lots of ways to give, but thank you for your faithful giving. We're going to pause for a moment. Let's pray together. Let's ask God to bless our giving back to Him whenever we do that. But also, and most importantly, let's open our hearts to God and ask Him to speak to us out of the Bible today, okay? Would you pray with me? God, thank you that your presence is with us, even though we're not gathered together physically on our campus. We're grateful that you're here. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us when we give back to you, whenever we do that, that you would bless us for our faithfulness and you would use our gifts to lift up the name of Jesus and to help real, tangible people in tangible ways. And God, now as we look into the scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak into every heart, into every mind, wherever they are, wherever they're listening to this, that you would speak into their hearts and minds. And for that to happen, God, I need your empowering. So would you come, Holy Spirit, and empower my words right now. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, have you ever seen like ads online or maybe infomercials that you're watching on late night TV or something that promise to change your life? Ever seen those? They say things like, if you've ever secretly felt fat or skinny or lazy or compulsive or depressed, this product is for you. And you're thinking, who gave them my name? How did they know? And it goes on and it says, your life can be changed for only $29.95. It's like, who buys that stuff? You know who buys that stuff? We do. Why do we buy it? Because we're looking for anything that will help us to change our lives. Anything that will help us gain control over an area of our life. So we're willing to pay the price. Did you know that there were 4.3 million self-help books sold last year alone? Why are so many people buying self-help books? Because people are looking for help to change their lives. So let's personalize this. How about you? What do you have a hard time controlling? Is there anything that you have a hard time controlling? Anything that's out of control in your life? Some of you might say, well, my temper is out of control. You know, like the woman who said, my husband is so temperamental. He's 90% temper and 10% mental. Some of you can relate. Others of you would say, well, my spending is out of control. Some of you go by the motto, the person who says money can't buy happiness just doesn't know where to shop. Others of you would say, you know, I need help in controlling my overeating or my moods, or I need control, you know, over my excessive drinking or my sexual desires. Maybe for you, it's procrastinating. You're one of those people who continually say, well, you know, one of these days I'm going to dot, dot, dot. But that day never comes. Or maybe you need control, over some other bad habit that you have. Or number 9 in your outline, you fill in the blank. What do you need help controlling in your life? And so for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about how to break free from things that are messing up our life. And today, we're going to look at the foundation for breaking free from besetting sins. So let's first look at, why can't I change? Why can't I change? Well, the problem is laid out for us by the Apostle Paul, where I had you turn in Romans 7. He says this, "For what I'm doing, I don't understand. For I'm not practicing what I'd like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I don't want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good." Verse 18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not." Can anybody relate? You have the willingness, but you don't have the ability to actually do it. You know, it's like the cowboy who became a Christian. And he said, "I feel like there's two horses pulling in opposite directions in my life." And somebody said, "Well, which horse wins?" And he said, "Whichever one I say, giddy up to." That's so true, isn't it? Somebody else said, "It's like I'm in a civil war. You know, part of me wants to do what's right, and part of me doesn't. I feel like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde." Do you ever feel like that in any area of your life? I think we all do, because that is the human condition. In fact, Jesus even said the same thing in Mark 14, where he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, that's something that's true in all of our lives in certain areas. We have our spirit willing, we want to change, but it doesn't seem like we have the power to pull it off. We're weak in the flesh. Or have you ever stopped a bad habit, but then just a few weeks later, maybe a few months later, you start it up again? That ever happened to you? Or how many of you ever made New Year's resolutions? Raise your hand. All right, if you raise your hands, how many of you kept those resolutions until at least February? Raise your hands again. Yeah, resolutions don't work, do they? The truth is, good intentions aren't enough. It takes more than that to change. It takes more than just saying, you know, "I promise I'm never going to smoke again," or "I promise I'm never going to lose my temper again," or "I promise this is the very last time. I promise right after Christmas I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to get in shape." See, good intentions and willpower alone are not enough. So that's the problem. It takes more than willpower to change. So what are some of the results of this problem? One result is confusion. We think, why do I keep making the same mistakes? Why am I so resistant to change? Why do I continue to do the very thing I don't want to do? We're confused. Second result of the problem is frustration. Frustration. I have the desire, but I don't have the power. See, that's the problem with self-help books. They tell you what to do, but they don't give you any power to do it. No self-help book can give you power. No seminar can give you power. Tony Robbins cannot give you power. A third result of the problem is defeat and discouragement. We start to think, I just can't change. I'm tired of even trying to change in this area of my life. You know, like Paul said a little later in Romans 7, he said, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? If you've ever felt that way, I have good news for you. The good news is you can change. I want you to say that out loud. I want you to say, I can change. Say it out loud. I can change. Say it again. I can change. Some of you are fast typers. Put it in the chat. I can change. You can. And the power is available. And these next several weeks are for you. Because the Bible makes it very clear how we can change in whatever area of our life we want to change. In fact, I want you to see God's promise to you and me. God's promise to you and me. Jesus said in John 8, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I want you to notice here that the secret to personal change is not willpower. Willpower does not work. Lots of us are living proof of that, right? It's not willpower. It's not resolutions. It's not fat farms. It's not pills. It's not patches. It's not gimmicks. It's not any of those things. Jesus said, you break free from a besetting sin by knowing the truth. Knowing the truth. You say, well, Brian, how can that be? Because the way you think determines the way you feel. And the way you feel determines the way you act. And so if I'm acting depressed, it means it's because I'm feeling depressed. And if I'm feeling depressed, it's because I'm thinking depressing thoughts. You see how it works? And what most people do is they just try to work on their actions, you know, their external behavior. They say, I'm going to just force myself to quit smoking. I'm going to force myself to stop blowing up at people with my temper. I'm going to force myself to stay on this diet. But God says, no, you need to start with your thinking. Why start with your thinking? Because bad beliefs cause bad behavior. I want you to say that out loud. Bad beliefs cause bad behavior. Say it again. Bad beliefs cause bad behavior. That's the truth. For every behavior you have, good or bad, it's based on a belief that you're holding on to, either consciously or subconsciously. So, if you're going to change the way you act, you must first change the way you think. You must have the truth in your heart and in your mind. Because the fact is, behind every self-defeating behavior is a lie that I'm believing. I'm accepting something that just is not true. I'm believing something about myself, or I'm believing something about God or other people or success or failure or life or my past or my present or my future that is not true. Behind every self-defeating behavior is a lie that I'm believing. So, for the next several weeks, we're going to expose and uncover and challenge the faulty untruths and misconceptions that are keeping many of you bound up. This is going to be a liberating series. It really is. Say it out loud. This is going to be a liberating series. Now, what I want to talk about for the rest of our time now is the foundation for breaking free from besetting sins. The foundation for breaking free from besetting sins. This is not the whole thing by any stretch of the imagination. This is only the foundation. But before we can get more specific in the coming weeks, we have to have the right foundation. Because if you don't have the right foundation, everything's going to crumble. So the first thing we need to do is we need to acknowledge that the root of my, quote, problem is sin. The root of my problem, whatever your problem is, the root of it is sin. Now, I know sin is not a word that people like to hear today. It's a very unpopular word. It's uncool. It's unhip. No presidential candidate ever uses the word sin, especially to describe themselves. But the word sin is the word that God uses. In fact, the Apostle John said it like this in 1 John 1:8. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's saying that we make things worse when we pretend that sin is not a problem. He says we end up deceiving ourselves when we do that. And you probably know the worst thing about being deceived is that you're deceived. If you knew you were deceived, then you wouldn't be deceived anymore. So John says, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now here's the basic attitude of sin. I'm in charge and I don't need God. I'm in charge in that area of my life and I don't need God. No matter what my problem is, the root of it is that attitude. I'm in charge and I don't need God. That is man's oldest problem. It started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They said, I'm in charge and I don't need God. So if I want to break free from besetting sins, I have to stop deceiving myself. I have to stop pretending like I don't have a problem. You know, unfortunately, many of us have to hit rock bottom before we admit that we need help. In fact, counselors and therapists say that the biggest problem that they face in helping people is that people wait way too long before they try to get help. People wait way too long before they try to get help in their marriage. They wait way too long before they try to get help with the substance abuse problem they have. They wait way too long before they try to get help for their porn addiction or their eating disorder or their temper problem or whatever it is. And so the first step in the foundation for breaking free from besetting sins, I have to acknowledge that the root of my problem, whatever my problem is sin. And the basic attitude of sin in that area of my life is I'm in charge and I don't need God. Second part of the foundation for breaking free from besetting sins is I have to admit that Jesus Christ is the only one who can change me. Jesus is the only one who can change me. In fact, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a truth. He said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I am a life. He said, I am the life. Jesus Christ, because he's the way, the truth, and the life, is the only one who can change me in the areas that I want to be changed. And so you have to admit that if you really want to be able to break free from whatever besetting sins are tripping you up. So let me ask you, have you done that? Have you ever really admitted that Jesus Christ is the only one who can change you. If you've never done that before, you can do it today. In fact, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this message to do that. You know, Paul said in Romans 7, we already read verse 24, I want you to see it again. He said the thing that we feel, wretched man that I am, why can't I change? Who will set me free from this body of this death? And then he answers that question in verse 25 and says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one who can change me. And the good news is, Jesus wants to help us change. But see, we have to turn to him. We have to turn to him. You know, it's sort of like if you went in your backyard and you found a dead pigeon and you wanted to see if that pigeon would fly. And so you pick it up, which probably wouldn't be a great thing to do, but you pick it up and you throw it up in the air. What's going to happen to that dead pigeon? It's going to drop to the ground. Why? Because it's dead. It has no life in those wings. Well, what if you spread out the wings and then you threw it up in the air? Is the pigeon going to fly? No. Why not? Because it's dead. What if you threw it in the air and you spoke to it and you said, fly, pigeon, fly. Is it going to fly? No. The only thing that's going to make that pigeon fly is new life, power in those wings. You know what Jesus says? He says, I am that power. I am the only one who can give you new life and the power to change. So I have to admit that Jesus Christ is the only one who can change me. And then the third part of the foundation of breaking free from besetting sins is I have to commit all that I am to Jesus Christ. This is foundational. You know, before we're able to get into specifics in the coming weeks, we have to do this first. You say, well, Brian, why should I do that? Well, because nothing else works. You've tried almost everything else. Nothing else works. That's why you need to do that. You know, there was an article I saw called How to Feel Better Fast, How to Cope. And people wrote in suggestions into this article of what people could do to help them feel better fast and cope. Let me give you some of their answers. Go home for lunch and turn on a soap opera. That'll make you feel better fast. Pretend like you're on a deserted island with Brad Pitt. That'll make you feel better fast. Curb your depression by going shopping. This person said, I find comfort in food, especially pastrami on rye. This person says, my pick-me-up to help me feel better fast is fantasized revenge. This person says, I get a kick out of dressing up my daughter's Barbie dolls. Yeah, like that's going to help you feel better fast, right? This person says, binge on Netflix. That'll help you feel better fast. And at the end of the article suggests these three things to feel better fast. It says, reread the first love story you've ever read. Number two, get alone by yourself for the weekend. And number three, get rid of all your old undies. I mean, is that really the best the world can offer? I mean, I'm contemplating suicide, and someone tells me I need to get rid of my old undies? That's crazy. See, Jesus is the only answer that works. In fact, Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, Jesus will make you a new person from the inside out. Now, you might be saying, well, Brian, sometimes I just don't feel like I have enough discipline to make the changes that I want to make. Well, Paul the Apostle tells us where discipline comes from. In 2 Timothy 1, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, or other translations say fear, but God has given us a spirit of power, there it is, love, there it is, and discipline. See, God is the one who gives us a spirit of discipline. Other translations say a spirit of self-control. It comes from God by committing my whole life to Jesus Christ. Are you tired of trying to force yourself to change and coming up short? Willpower doesn't work. And the truth is, happiness is a choice. It's a choice. And God gives you a free will to do whatever you want to do with your life. God says you can depend on yourself or you can depend on me. But God says you have to live with the results. You have to live with the results. You make the choice. You want to depend on yourself? What'll come out of that is frustration. Or do you want to depend on God? And what'll come out of that is freedom. Freedom. You know, I don't believe that any of you that are watching online right now are doing that by accident. No, in fact, the Bible says that even before you were born, God knew that you would be here watching this online at this time in history. God knew. And today can be a turning point in your life. Today. You know, I don't know why you're watching online. Maybe a friend dragged you there. Maybe your spouse dragged you to watch online. But the truth is, God is the one who actually orchestrated circumstances to make sure you were watching, because God wanted to say to you, through me, you matter to me. Your life matters to me. I love you. And today, God says, can be a new start. A new start for you. God says it doesn't matter where you've been. All that matters is where you're headed now. You can change. You can. So here's the foundation, the starting point for breaking free from besetting sins. Number one, I have to acknowledge that the root of my problem, whatever my problem is sin. Number two, I have to admit that Jesus is the only one who can change me. And number three, I have to commit my whole life to Jesus Christ. All of me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, that is not all there is to change. We have lots more that's going to come in the coming weeks. But this is the foundation. And unless you do this first, you'll have no power to make happen what we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. So let me ask you, which one of those three things do you need to do right now? I just wanted you to take a moment, and whichever one of those three things you need to do, or maybe all three, I don't know, is I want you to do business with God, just between you and God in your heart. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? This is a holy moment. So would you just close your eyes and ask yourself, have I ever acknowledged that the root of my problem really is sin, that I'm a sinner? Have I ever admitted that Jesus is the only one who can change me? Have I ever committed my whole life to Jesus? You know, some of you have never committed your whole life to Jesus. You have to do that before you'll ever be able to have the power to change all the areas of your life that you want to change. And you might say, well, Brian, I want to do that. I want to commit my whole life to Jesus, but I'm not sure how. How do I do it? You could begin by a simple prayer of surrender and commitment. I'm going to pray a prayer of surrender and commitment right now. And if you want to pray this in your heart to God after me, you can begin this journey by committing your whole life to Jesus right now. So if you want to do that, just right now in your heart, you don't have to say it out loud. God can read your thoughts, but you have to really mean it. Just say something like, God, I know that I've sinned, that I've thought wrong thoughts and done wrong deeds and said wrong words. And God, I know that I need forgiveness in my life for all the things that I've done. And right now, I want to ask you, God, would you come into my life and forgive me of all the bad things that I've ever thought or done or said. And to the best that I understand, God, I want to commit my whole life to you from this moment on. I want you to fill me, Holy Spirit, and begin to give me the power to make the changes in my life that I want to make. You know, if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, it actually happened. Jesus came inside of your life and he forgave you of all your sins and he's giving you a new start. And now he wants to begin to give you the power to change. We want to help you to do that here at the Vineyard. Make sure that you stay with me in this series on breaking free from besetting sins, because there's a lot more to come. You've done the foundational part, but there's a lot more to come. We're going to start that next weekend, so make sure you're online. Or if we're back in in-person services, make sure if you want to come here that you're here. But you know, I want to know, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to know about it. Our pastoral team wants to know about it. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, right now, I want you to pull out your phone, and I want you to text the word commit to 22999. Right now, some of you are not doing that. Right now, pull out your phone and text the word commit to 22999. And then sometime in the next 24 to 48 hours, one of our team members will contact you by text or something, and they'll get a hold of you and talk with you about this new commitment that you've made and how we can help you with that. So text the word commit right now, 22999. Now, if you'd like somebody to pray for you before you leave, just there's a live prayer button in the chat. You can click that button anytime. It'll take you into a private chat, and one of our team members will pray with you online right now. All right? Now, before you go, I want to pray a blessing over all of us, but make sure if you prayed that prayer, text the word commit 22999. Make sure you're with us next weekend as we continue talking about how to break free from besetting sins. Lord, I pray for all my friends now as they go their separate ways. I ask God, would you bless them? Would you keep them? Would you cause your face to shine upon them? Would you be gracious to them? Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Do all the social distancing and all that, and we'll see you soon. God bless you.
Well, I feel a warm wind blowing, melting all the sadness off of my soul, and I smell sweet cherry blossoms pouring all their gladness into my soul.
that we've waited for. Jesus, you're standing at the door. Don't have to fight it, don't have to run no more. This is where life begins. We open the door.
To restore, you are the victor. thought it was the end, but it's just begun. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, not for what I've done or for what I'm not. You, my Jesus, my strength.
My strength.